Good morning, everyone. It's another day that our God has made, and we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. We're thankful unto him, and we bless his name because he is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So we thank God on this another day that he has made. I also want to say, as a citizen of the nation of the United States of America, happy 4th of July to each one of you. We pray that God's continued blessings and mercies will be upon America. If ever we needed the Lord, we sure do need him now. So we want to continue to pray for our nation. We are also can celebrate the nation's birth. We are citizens of the United States of America. But more than that, we are citizens of the kingdom of the Most High God, and that is an everlasting kingdom that shall reign forever and ever and shall never be destroyed. So God's kingdom supersedes all others. I greet you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. I welcome anyone, if we have any new first-timers with us. I'm glad that you are with us. I don't see anyone new, but there may possibly be. So I'm glad that you are here. I encourage all of you to continue to invite others to join the class whenever you have the opportunity. If not this class, somebody's class. Everyone needs to be in the Word of God in some type of a good Bible study. Having said that, we are going to continue today and conclude our study in Luke chapter 12. That was my goal on last week, but we did not finish, and that was of the Lord's doing. But today, I do believe we will be finishing Luke chapter 12. This is July 4th, as you all know, July 4th, 2021. And I like to say the date for the last 3 weeks. I have forgotten to say the date, but because these classes are being recorded, I want to, as much as possible, make sure that I do say the date. Today we'll be concluding Luke chapter 12, and that means next week, Lord willing, we are going to start a brand new chapter. And having said that, with starting Luke chapter 13, we're now over the halfway mark. Luke has 24 chapters, and we are at the halfway point right now. If we make it to Luke 13, we'll be over the hump. So it's been quite the journey, and we thank God. As you have heard me say, at the end of each chapter, as far as I know from here on out, because in our class, we don't have a lot of time for comments. We don't have a lot of time for questions. And there you may have questions. No doubt there are questions and there are comments. And it's not that I'm trying to ignore you. It's just that, first of all, my call is to teach. And I know there's a place for comments, but God said for Velma, make sure you teach my word. So I'm trying to do that. And all of you are witnesses that God gives me more than enough to say in an hour, that we really do not have time in our class time for a lot of comments and for a lot of questions. Therefore, at the end of each chapter, starting next Sunday night, we will have a round table, and this will be a time for you to make comments, further insight, or questions that you may have on Luke chapter 12. So that's next Sunday night on Zoom at 6:30 p.m. We will have our regular class in the morning. The round table discussion on Luke 12 will be tomorrow, next Sunday at 6:30. I encourage you to look over the chapter and see what questions or comments. We've been in the chapter for quite a while, but if you go back, some things will come back to you. So we thank God for this day. I don't believe I have prayed yet. So Father in heaven, we do enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We say hallelujah to your name, hallelujah to your holiness, hallelujah to your righteousness, hallelujah to your love, hallelujah to all your gifts that you give us, hallelujah to your goodness, hallelujah to a brand new day, Hallelujah, that you are the God of times and seasons. Hallelujah, you reign over all. And hallelujah, you have called us into the family of God. Hallelujah, for the day of grace. And you are still calling sinners unto yourself. We pray that even this day, that someone may be brought out of darkness into your marvelous light. Hallelujah, for your word, Lord God, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. May your word be bread to us today, meat and milk and honey. Feed us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And take this word and apply it to our lives. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be, Lord God. Whatever would stand in the way of us having been in fellowship with thee, we pray, dear Lord, forgive. We pray for the absent part of us, for those who wanted to be here but could not, for whatever the reason, we pray that all is well. We pray for those who are present, Lord, and for all of their needs, Lord God, for the one on our left, for the one on our right, even in a virtual classroom, we pray for one another. Now, Lord, we trust in you to open up the word to us and to teach us. We'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to continue on today. And our verses, there are only two verses in Luke here that we will be looking at as our main text. So they are the last two verses of Luke chapter 12. And I encouraged you on last week, and I also put in the Zoom invitation some words for you to look up. But when we look at Luke chapter 12, I'm trying to still get organized here. When we look at Luke chapter 12, verses 58 and 59. So let's first of all start out by reading those two verses. Even though it's just two verses, it is full of meaning. And we'll see more about that as we proceed. Luke chapter 12, verse 58, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It reads, "When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite." And so this verse ends with a warning. This is a warning passage. And as we have seen in previous weeks, one of the themes of Luke chapter 12 is eternal judgment. Well, let's look at this verse a little closer and let's look at the words. And let's also do a little by little. So in verse 58, it starts out, and it's like a parable here. But it's a truth that relates to all of us. Everybody in the whole world is included in these two verses. You either fall on one side or another. So verse 58 starts out with some action going on. We see the action word, and the action word is go. We also see it as personified, talking about us, when you go. It is a personal passage. It applies to everyone. And so this person, and this would be us, when we go, or whoever in the whole world, when you go, and now we notice we're not going alone. And I'm just taking the words now and portioning off our food little by little. When you go, we're traveling. I'm traveling on a journey. You're traveling on a journey. What is the journey? The journey is life. This is life's journey. And as we're going on life's journey, and we'll notice also in verse 58, it says there, along the way. You all see along the way is also in verse 58. Well, that's part of life's journey. When you go, all right, we're on life's journey, and the journey starts at birth. The life's journey starts at birth, including the newborn baby, all the way to death. That is the journey here. So when we go on our way in life, we find out we're not alone. We're not alone because it says there's a with. So when you go with your adversary, now we see where there was one individual, now we have two parties. And it says it's us, we're going, there's someone coming along with us. We find out whoever is coming along with us, whoever or whatever is coming along with us, is it a friend? Is it a companion? No, it tells us it's an adversary. And this also starts at birth. So we're traveling along the way, not by ourselves. There is an adversary with us. We're going to explain and identify these terms in a minute. So we're traveling along the way. There is an adversary traveling all the way along with us as well. Where are we going? Well, it tells you right here in verse 58 that we are on our way with this adversary and we are headed to court. We are headed to the magistrate. We are headed to judgment because everybody is on their way to judgment. Judgment by God, whether they know it or not. And that starts at birth. Anyone born, well, a lot of things happen between birth and death. A whole bunch of things happen between birth and death. But for the most part, all of those things they really don't matter. But there is one thing that really matters, and that's going to be found here in verse 58. So when we're traveling along the way, there's this adversary with us, and we're headed, I'm headed, you're headed, everybody in life is headed, everybody in the world is headed to the judgment, to the courtroom, to a trial, to the magistrate. Me, this adversary, headed to the magistrate. Well, now the scripture says, here's some action. Here's something you need to do. And it says it with emphasis. It says it with an exclamation point. Even though there is no exclamation point, the words are screaming. The words are hollering. The words are shouting. The words are saying urgent. The words are saying important. It says, make every effort. Every effort. Do all you can. Make every effort along the way while you're traveling in life. On your way to judgment, do all that you can. Make every effort along the way between birth and death. This has to happen between birth and death. What has to happen? Well, that's right here in verse 58 as well. It says, make every effort along the way in life to do what? Now, here's the dividing line. Here's the main core of it all. What has to be done? Well, what has to be done is make every effort in this life along the way to settle with him. Okay, so we know we're on our way to judgment and we know we're guilty. We are guilty we are guilty parties in the judgment of God, in the righteousness and holiness of God. We are guilty. So we have to make every effort along the way to settle with him. Now we need to identify some of these characters and names. So we've seen in verse 58, the you is everyone in life. Everyone who has been born or will be born, including you and I. The adversary. Who is that adversary? Well, normally, when you hear adversary, especially if you've been in your Bibles and in church and everything, you automatically think of the devil. This is not the devil. Not here. We know it's not the devil because we are never told. You can read it from Genesis to Revelation. We are never told to settle with the devil. We don't make settlements with him. He is our enemy, and we are his enemy. He is God's enemy, always will be. On his way to hell, he doesn't like God. He doesn't like anything about God. He doesn't like God's people, God's ways, God's plans, God's will. Satan is doing all he can to overthrow the will of God. So this is not the devil. So then you got to think, well, who could this be? Or what could this be that is our adversary? The adversary is the law of God. That's the one, the law of God. It is because of the law of God that we are guilty. It is because of the law of God we are sinners. Started way back in Adam. Adam had a Bible. It only had one verse in it, but it was his little Bible. And it said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And Adam did what? Disobey God. And as the federal head of the race, the progenitor of humanity, he pulled us all down. And humanity, through Adam, has been declared guilty. Guilty before God. Adam broke God's law. Adam disobeyed God. And we come into this earth, even the little bitty baby, born of Adam, part of Adam's seed, comes into this world guilty. So our adversary is the law of God. Why is it our adversary? Well, the law is good. Everything God does is good. The law of God is good, but it's our adversary. Why? Because we can't keep it. We cannot keep the law. And we know in order to get in God's heaven, no one gets into God's heaven as a sinner. No one gets into God's heaven with sin on them. God is holy, holy, holy. God is righteous, righteous, righteous. God is just, just, just. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God does not tolerate the nth degree of sin. So what we got to do here? We have this adversary that's telling us you have to keep the law. And that includes the Ten Commandments and all the righteousness of God. Not just those Ten Commandments, but everything that God requires, we are required to do. So we have a case, and it's hopeless. Naturally speaking, we are guilty, and what are we to do? Well, that's part of seeking. You have to know, verse 58, we're going to judgment. And people need to hear this. Sinners need to hear it. Of course they do. That's who needs to hear it. I needed to hear it. I heard it years ago because you all have heard me say, when I was growing up, you heard about hell more than we hear about it now. But that was an incentive for me to want to be saved. That was an incentive. And then we'd hear one day, you go, God's going to call this world to order. And there's God's going to judge. And God's going to bring every work into the judgment. And Reverend Wade, he would quote all of Ecclesiastes 12, for God shall bring every work into judgment, the good and the evil. And I was hearing that. And that let me know, oh, I've got a case. I'm guilty. I need help. So when you go, everybody in life, with our adversary, the law of God, because the law of God is saying, sinner, I still require that my law be kept. If you're going to get in my heaven, the law of God has to be kept. So that's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. Verse 58, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort. And that's part of why I teach so hard, and I use the word so hard, not wasting time trying to give it all I got. Because it's serious, serious business. This spiritual journey is serious business. It's serious business because on it hinges death and life, life and death, hell and heaven, righteousness or sinner. So we see as you go, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way. You got to do it along the way. It has to be done before death. It has to be done while you are in this life. It has to be done along the way. Well, what has to be done? We've got to settle. Settle with what? Settle with that adversary. Some kind of way there has to be a settlement with the law. Not with the devil. We don't ever settle with him. We hate him and he hates us. So we don't settle with him, but we do settle. A settlement must be made with the law of God. So that's part one. Now the next word I would say takes us to part two of this passage. And part two says, lest, well, that means unless or less. That's the best come to me right now. So along the way, settle with him, lest, in other words, if you don't settle, if you don't settle with the law of God, here will be what will happen. Lest he drag you, who's the he? Well, that he is the law of God, that he is the one that's pointing the finger, said you must keep the law of God, that he is the one who is with us along the way. So if we don't settle with him, what is he going to do? Well, the law of God is going to drag us, because no one is going to want to go to this judgment. But see, this happens after death. This is after death. Now, the words before lest are words before death. Now it's after death. And it says, lest he drag you to the judge. And so now we're into the eternal realm where everybody's headed, whether they know it or not, headed to the judge. And the judge, we know, is the Lord God. So lest he, the law, drag you to the judge. The judge does what? Well, the judge just makes rules in courts. The judge delivers you. And the judge gives the sentence. Here comes the sentence here. The judge delivers you, hands you over where? To the officer. And we see that when we see courts on TV and trials on TV. And the sentence comes down. And then the officers come. And that person is handcuffed, and the officer uses one on one side and one on the other, and the officers do what? Carry that person away. So if we don't get our case settled, it says, lest he drag you to the judge. But you got to go. Now, ain't no way you're going to get undragged. You will be going to this judge. The judge deliver you to the officer. Now, at this time, there's no time for, I meant to, I'm sorry, I was going to do that, Lord, but I forgot. Lord, I was going to do that, but I was too young. I had a whole bunch of life to live. Lord, I was going to do that, but I'm too old. And I said, what the heck now? No excuses in that day. So lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer. The officer throw you into prison. And so that's the sentence, that's the penalty, is to be thrown into prison. And ultimately, that is eternal damnation, that is eternal hell, because the case did not get settled. And you know, like I say, God balances all the books. Everything's gonna, you talk about an accountant, God is an accountant, and everything's gonna be balanced to righteousness and holiness. And so God, who has to deal with sin must be dealt with. It's either settled in this life or either you bear the penalty yourself. Hence, this person is thrown into prison. The warning is, another warning, verse 59, I tell you, see, this is what needs to be Even today, these things need to be told people. People, if they heard these things, it would challenge people and it would cause them to wake up. There's more to life than just thank God for this holiday. We thank God for that. But life is far more than that. Life is above all of that. We're on our way to a divine holy God, to divine judgment. And you got to make every effort, do everything you can. Preachers, preach the word. Tell people to repent. Tell them there's a judgment to be faced. Tell them there's a hell to fear. Tell them there's a law to be kept. But also tell them about the love of God. Now we're going to enter into how this course, how this case can be settled. But first of all, verse 59 said, I tell you, you shall not depart from there. That's that prison, which is hell, ultimately. I tell you, you shall not depart from there, time word, until you have paid. See, that's part of that settlement. Something, the law debt. We are in debt. We are in debt to God. We have not kept the law. So that's what that part of that settlement in verse 58, make every effort along the way to settle. Settle. Get it settled. You all heard of out-of-court settlements. Get it settled before you get to the courtroom. Settled out of court. Well, if you don't, verse 59, I tell you, you shall not depart from there until you have paid the very last mite. And you know we can't pay that. We can't, that debt, no, we can't pay that debt. If for no other reason, you're in prison and the debt cannot be paid. So that's the two verses here. Now let's identify again these characters. Let me go straight through them here and some of these words. So we've seen the you is all of us. The you is everyone in humanity from Adam onward. That's the you. And then we go on, and this is a very legal passage. This whole passage here is a legal passage where you're talking about adversary. Well, we know what an adversary is. When you go with your adversary, well, the adversary is what? That's our opponent. That's the one who is against us in a conflict or in a dispute. So I just looked up these words. The adversary is the one pointing at us and accusing us. Well, that's what the law does, because we cannot keep it. So we have the adversary. Well, what else makes this a legal passage? Well, next we see the word magistrate. And I encourage you to look up these words and do a further, I just looked in a basic, I didn't even go to Webster. I just talked into my phone and asked it to define magistrate. And that's the definition I stayed with, just a simple definition. But these words carry much more weight, but you will get the gist of it. So the magistrate, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, well, the magistrate is a judge who administers the law. And that's the definition, a judge who administers the law. And then we see it's also a legal passage because it's talking about adversary. It's talking about magistrate. And we already found out the adversary is the law. That is who the adversary is. Then it says settle. That's also could be a legal phrase or a legal word. Settle. A case is settled. Or it's settled in court or it's settled out of court. A settlement is made. You know, J&J made a settlement. Whoever. A settlement is made. So that's legal terminology as well. And of course, the next word here is judge. We know that's legal because the judge is the one who decides the case in the court of law and gives out the sentence. So we have the judge there. And then there is the officer, and we've seen the judge and the officers in court. And some of you have been in court. Some of you are lawyers. Some of you have more experience with court than others. But we're all familiar with it to some degree. So then we have the judge and also the officer And the officer, the definition I have, is one who keeps order in the courtroom and looks after prisoners. Because he's like the one that's going to come get that prisoner and take him on, get that person and take him on to prison. And then last of all is the prison. And so this is a very, very legal passage. And we all have a case that must be settled. We all have this case that must be settled between us and the law of God. Have any of us kept the whole law of God? Well, my answer is no, none of us. And it's, thank you, whoever said no, none of us have kept the law of God. And there's sins of ignorance we don't even know about. And you all remember when we were studying Luke chapter 12, verse 48, ignorance was no excuse. Just because you didn't know didn't mean God said, oh, that's okay. You didn't know no better. Well, no, that God can't say that's okay. The case must be settled. So verse 48 said, but he who did not know, he did not know, yet he committed sins deserving of stripes. He shall be beaten with few. So anyway, there's still that judgment. There's still that law that must be settled with. So we need to find out, how can my case before God be settled? But we're going to look at quite a few scriptures in the book of Romans. And I encourage you, if you want to go into a further study on these two verses, read the book of Romans and also Galatians, Romans and Galatians. But if you just stay in the word of God, that's sufficient. Because all of God's word is one. Okay, let's go to Romans. We are going to look at quite a few scriptures. We're just going to read them. I may make a comment, and we keep turning in Romans. Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and let's start at verse 18. Now, these verses we're going to read are more or less in chronological order. They're not in order necessarily of, you know, what I want to say, but it all has to do with our passage. So Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. Let me go to 15. Romans 1, verse 15. So as much as is in me, Paul is talking, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. You notice that word, it? It is the power. That's where the power is. It ain't in a whole bunch of stuff. The power is in the gospel. So Paul says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. It ain't in nothing else. The gospel must be preached. And for you all who have been called to proclaim God's word, if you don't get nothing else out, you make sure you get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Because we're trying to get our case settled. And you all are trying to get people to get their case settled. So you have to make every effort. And part of that is, preach it. Somebody's got to preach it. You got a case to be settled. So it says in 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. See, that's that law that must be settled with. And in the preaching of the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, that's that prison and that judgment and all that officer and hell and damnation. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, there's that word all, against all ungodliness. And you all know our ungodliness, well, we were born with a sin nature, but we started acting it out very young. Probably even before we could talk, we was doing some unrighteousness stuff. And that might seem unbelievable, but it isn't. You look at little kids and little babies and stuff. They know how to manipulate all kinds of things going on. So all ungodliness, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And see, that's the adversary pointing at us. How much ungodliness have we done? We've broken the scales. How much unrighteousness we've done? All of us have broken the scales. All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And then it goes on. But let's go to verse 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. So Romans 1, verse 32, and it calls a roll here. This, if you've never read Romans, all of God's word is good. But in light of our study, I would encourage you to read Romans, especially this chapter right here. So Romans 1, I said verse 32, but let's call the roll of some of these sins of ungodliness and unrighteousness, starting at verse 24. And you really need to go back to get the context better. But Romans 1, 24, therefore, God also gave them up. That's because they suppressed the truth. God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Now you see, first it said in verse 24, God gave them up. Verse 26, God gave them up. Verse 28, God gave them over. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. And then it starts calling the roll of some unrighteous things. We've already seen some. But verse 29 says, being filled. Well, we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. But here's a group filled with unrighteousness. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness. Now, you all have to look at our own history. We can't say, yeah, that's them, because all of us fall up under this role. All of us have committed some of these acts of unrighteousness and some of these acts of sin. Everyone, make sure you're on mute. So verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boaster. You all, you talk about we got a case to be settled. Everybody has a case to be settled. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so that's Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, because we're trying to find out, well, how do I get my case settled? I got to make every effort to get it settled before I die. So Romans chapter 3, and let's look at verse 19. Romans 3, starting at verse 19. Now we know, Romans 3, 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, that's that adversary, whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. See, this is what the law does. It declares us guilty. And so verse 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world, that's that everybody, all the world may become guilty before God. So that's the verdict that we come into this world with. We come into this earth with this verdict already upon us, this sentence of death of already upon us, the law, our adversary, and we have already been declared guilty. That's how everybody comes into this world. All the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Y'all see that? By the law, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. No one will be made righteous. No one will be declared forgiven by the law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Here's what the law does. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, all them, that list we just read, all of us were in that list somewhere. We were all in that list somewhere. We had committed some of those sins. And it was by those things being listed and being said is the knowledge of sin. Now we're going to see how we're going to get our case settled. You know, y'all saying, well, tell me. That's what we want the sinner to say. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? So we got to tell them how to settle the case. Verse 21. But now, there's that contrast in phrase, the but. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So that tells us, see, we're trying to get on the side from guilty, but we need to get over to righteousness. We need to get on the side from sinner over to the side of child of God. And so verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. So you all see that? Everybody's on their way to judgment. Everybody. But God has made a provision for everybody to be declared righteous. He has made provision for everyone to be saved. And he says that in verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith, that's how you get from one side to the other, through faith in Jesus Christ to all, that's the world, and on all who believe. There's no difference. God's no respecter of persons. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes. So then verse 23 says, all have sinned, all are guilty, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But verse 24 says, but being justified, you know, that's what we got to get from guilty to justified. And justified means to be declared righteous, just as if you never sinned. Justified means your sins are forgiven. You are now reconciled to God. And it comes through Jesus Christ. He's the one that did what? What did Jesus do? Well, he paid it all. He paid our debt. Yes, he did. But somebody's got to keep this law because God demands his law be kept. Well, Jesus kept the law. all the way. He kept every jot of it and every tittle. And he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And he kept every iota of the law. And so when we believe in him and trust in him by faith, and I don't mean just this mental, oh yeah, I believe, somewhere back there, I believe. No, I mean believe with the heart and follow on to know the Lord. So when we believe, he gives us, here's an exchange. He took on himself our sins. God laid on Jesus, Isaiah 53, our sins. Jesus bore our wrath. Jesus bore our penalty. Jesus went down in that grave. All of that he did for us. He came up from the grave because God received the sacrifice. And now guilty sinners can be declared righteous. So verse 22, 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And then it goes on with much more that can be said. Chapter 4. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Y'all, this passage in Luke is a beautiful passage. It's a frightening passage if you're on the wrong side. But our case has been settled. If you're in Jesus, the account is settled. Verse 7. Blessed are those. Y'all, now when you really think about it, all this other stuff in life, we thank God for houses, cars, food, all that stuff, our jobs, retirement, their family. We bless him for all that. But more than all of that, because we got to part with that someday, we got to have our sins forgiven and our court case settled before God. So verse 7 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. And you know, all those sins we've committed, you all think back on your own life. Some of those things we've forgotten, thank God. But you can think of enough of what you've done in the past that you can shout and say hallelujah forever. That verse 7 would say, blessed are those whose lawless deeds, that's that adversary, are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And see, that's what happened to that other man in Luke 12. He didn't get his case settled. So sin was imputed to him, and he has to pay for his sin, and he can never pay for it. And that's why the fire will never end. So that's Romans chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Very familiar passage. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified, declared righteous, by faith, we have peace with God. God's not going to throw us in prison. He's not going to beat us with stripes. He's not going to cut us in two. Because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say hallelujah. And I want you all to unmute yourselves here and let's say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so mute yourselves again. But we need it together to praise the Lord. So verse chapter 5, verse 1. Having been justified. Everyone, make sure you're back on mute now. It's a done deal. But we still required to confess our sins on this journey. We still need to confess our sins. But as far as eternal salvation, it is a done deal. Having been justified by faith, we have. It's a possession. We have peace with God. How did we get it? Jesus paid it all. And then it goes on talking about some more of their good things. We just don't have time to read it. But let's go to verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die? Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified, just as if we'd never seen sin, been justified, how? By his blood, because somebody has to pay for sin. God is just. He demands the law be kept. So we are justified by his law. We shall be saved from wrath through him. So we don't have to fear being thrown into eternal damnation. We shall be saved by wrath, from wrath through him. Let's go on over to chapter 7. We have 4 minutes. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Romans 7, 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? And that's what I said earlier. From birth to death, that law is pointing. And so it says here, the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. But then it goes on talking about how you can move from that to being justified. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. I'm skipping some verses, of course. Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. See, that's why people need to hear if we sin and tell folks they sinning, because you can't be saved without knowing you're a sinner. In order to get the case settled, you have to know you're guilty. In order to get the case settled, you have to know you're in debt to God. And so verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. And then it goes on, and you all can read the rest. But let's end with two verses here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Romans 8, 1, and then Romans 10. And then we have to pray and go. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in, you got to be in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. I'm free from the law of sin and death. And then we're going to end with Romans chapter 10. It is 9:54. But let's end with Romans 10. And Romans 10 says, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, for America, for my family, for my brother, for my cousins, and you all got people too. My heart's desire and prayer to God for my loved ones and many others is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for your word that reveals to us that there is a judgment to face. We thank you for the law that lets us know we're sinners, and the law that lets us know you got to get your case settled. So we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, Jesus who came and bore our sins and our penalty. We thank you for him. We thank you that in Jesus we have been declared righteous. We have been declared free. We have been declared justified. We thank you that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Help us to walk as so. Now be with us through this week. Bless all worship services getting ready to happen, Lord, and are happening even now. Bless every church door open in your name. Be with us all today, Lord, and keep us in your care until we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Everyone have a great day.
Everyone have a great day.
Amen.
And happy 5th of July and 5th and 6th and 7th. Amen. You too.
Amen.
Love you all. Pray for me. I'll be praying for you. Hi, Maggie.
A lesson of substance.
I see Maggie's name.
Yes.
Hi.
Barbara. Sharon and Mercedes said hello.
Hello.
Have a blessed one.
What about Deacon Wendell? Does he say hello too?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm not asleep.
Hi, Sister Carter. You all are so precious to me. Precious.
We love you.
Love you
too.
Blessings to everyone.
Glad to see you, Barbara, and everybody.
Okay. Happy 4th to everyone.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. There's Benny. Hey, good to see you, Benny.
Yeah, good to see you too. Good to see everyone.
You all be careful with those fireworks. And don't spend all your money on them.
Right.
Okay, we got to go to church.
Yeah, now we got to go to church.
Bye. Yeah, God bless you.
God bless you too, Sister Vanna.
God bless you
Thank
too.
Thank you. Luke 13 next week. Lord willing.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.